Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac, live from Everbank. At least a couple of us are live from Everbank today. Me, you, Blake Bortles, and some dudes who are sanding the front hallway, Tony, are the foyer, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, you had to walk around the back way. I think you may have been here early enough that you may not have had to do
that. Oh, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. The boys, the sanders today are here early on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. So is Blake. I don't know what Blake's doing. He's probably just working out, lifting some weights. That's your quarterback right there. He's grinding, baby. I saw him leaving yesterday as I was walking in, which made me feel like some kind of a sloth or something. You know, but Blake, I don't have to work as hard as you. I don't have nearly as an important job as you. But he was here early this morning once again. Not a whole lot of work getting done here other than the guys with the power tools up front. If you stop by the ticket-taking side on the west side of the stadium, you know, where the Jag statue is.
Yeah.
The lobby out there is being redone, refinished, something. I don't know what they're doing out there. They're doing something that creates a lot of sawdust, and so we did have to take some sneaky back routes around the building to get to the studio today. We know some sneaky back routes around Everbank, though. That's nice.
We do, and it's a crazy busy weekend down here this weekend. Not just at the stadium with the Armada and their premiere tomorrow, regular season premiere. It's the first time they're playing a game that counts. It's tomorrow against FC Edmonton, but over at the baseball grounds at 2 o'clock tomorrow, the Marlins will be here, so you can go check that out. If nothing else, if you're going to get out to the ballpark, make sure you get out there early enough to see batting practice, because you're going to see all those major leaguers taking batting practice.
Yes.
You don't get to do that every day, especially a guy like Giancarlo Stanton. Put the kids over there in the parking lot behind left field and collect yourself some baseballs while Giancarlo hits batting practice. And, of course, tonight, the Sharks home opener as well down at the arena. So it's a busy, busy sports weekend here in Jacksonville.
Will some kid get beamed on the little berm behind the left field fence?
They might.
You know, they'll be out there in force.
They could.
On Saturday. And
you know, Giancarlo's one of those guys, and you and I have had this conversation before going out there to watch a lot of Suns baseball. There are guys, when they hit the ball, it sounds different, and you can tell immediately. Giancarlo, when he was Mike and here in town, it was that type of guy. Every time his bat made contact, you were like, whoa. I mean, it just sounds like an explosion. I remember Miguel Cabrera was that type of guy when he was here briefly.
It's unbelievable.
Just, every time they hit it, you're like, that's a major league swing.
I told you, Tony, this may be the most frequently repeated story of mine, and it's going to take 20 seconds, so it's not going to be long. But Miguel Cabrera came in when I was doing Suns games many moons ago and was batting over 400 and raised his average four consecutive days. That is so hard to do.
Well,
I mean, think of it. You go 2 for 5, your average is going down. And he raised his average four straight days and played a Brooks Robinson-esque third base. And I'm not exaggerating. He was making plays well behind the bag, gunning guys out. Then he decided he likes carbs. And he's like, hey, I like pizza, man. That pizza tastes pretty good.
That's right. He's still swinging all right.
Oh, he swings fine. He's not quite as adept in the field as he was back in the day. But speaking of which, I'll take this opportunity to remind folks out there, if you're on FanDuel, FanDuel.com, playing fantasy sports, play fantasy football, your account's still rolling, or go sign up for a new one. Use my promo code Mike. Just use my name, and they'll give you some matching dollars to start off with. We're doing an opening day fantasy baseball one-day league on FanDuel. And people have asked, well, how do I find it? Well, if you go on my Twitter timeline, I tweeted it out. I'll tweet it out again once a day for the next several days. But if you don't have Twitter, and that's fine. Just go to FanDuel.com, and there's a little search box.
Mm-hmm.
Just put my name, Mike Dempsey, in there, and there's only one league that has my name in the title of it, and click on that. It's capped at 50 people, and the prize pool will be $225 if it maxes out of 50 people. It's only $5 to play. So I stink at fantasy baseball. At least, I put it this way, I've never played, but I'm going through, and I'm like, who's that? Who's that guy? I'm trying not to pick on New York Yankees because it may not be a good thing. I'm going to get Tanaka in there, I think, because but might as well use him before the elbow falls off, Tony. That's my goal with that. So anyway, go check that out if you're so inclined coming up this weekend. You just kind of feel like it's one of those days you're like watching the clock a little bit here today. I know 1010's shutting the office down early this afternoon. all the staff and the sales staff and the administrative people and all that are going to be hightailing it out of there. And you and I will be hightailing it out of here. You got Monday off, so 3-day weekend for you. It's one of these kind of days. I think we're just going to roll a little loose and have a little bit of fun, which lines up with our fan feedback spotlight today. We've been telling you about it to give you a little time to think about it this week. And I told you, Tony, we'll get to our list later, but I think I may have left off my most watched movie of my life.
Really?
My top five. And it dawned on me yesterday. Tyler, I'm telling you, the single most watched movie for me personally may have left it off entirely. May have left it off entirely. That's how hard it is to do this list. But the question is, what are the five movies that you think you have watched the most in your lifetime?
Yeah, I cheated a little bit with my list in that regard, as far as it may not be purely the five that I've seen the most in my life, because
cheater.
I like you and your son, you know, y'all do a Friday night movie thing. And part of the deal at my house was we did a Friday night movie thing, me, my brother, my mom, and there were movies that were on the rotation for that. And so what I did was I included one of the movies that was on that rotation, but not all three or four, because that would be my whole list, right? So it was just, I'll mention the movies that were on that Friday night rotation, but only one of them made my top five. And I've been like trying to put together a list of the movies I'm pretty sure I've seen 20 times from start to finish before. And it says everybody's responses are coming in. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one 20 times.
I've seen that one 20 times at least.
See, I don't know. It's so difficult to know what I've watched start to finish all these times. And look, like we said, you do this list again next week, you might have three different ones or maybe five different ones in your list. But whatever you think are your top five or whatever you want to represent, little did we know that we were in danger of, I don't know, getting rubbed out by J.P. Shadrick. My goodness. J.P., you're a little dark there, brother. Look, I love a good gangster flick. Apparently, that's all J.P. watches. It's unbelievable. The list, and he doesn't even have Goodfellas on there, and he's got five gangster movies in his top five. So, all right, man, I won't cross you anymore. Never mind. I'm going to close the door from now on, Tony, in case I say something that J.P. shouldn't hear me saying.
Right.
He may be carrying, I would imagine, a snub-nosed revolver would be his style, right? And close contact work is J.P.'s style.
Oh, yeah.
As far as that goes. So send us your list on Twitter or Facebook. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and of course the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Even if you want to call in and talk about that today, it's a little loosening of the belt and the rules on a Friday.
It's Friday.
Not a ton of newsy news. It is Friday of top 10 players by position. Okay. And Breshad Perriman out of UCF is up to number 3.
Gosh.
Somebody at wide receiver, somebody tweeted me on this yesterday. I want to give him recognition here. I don't have it up in front of me. See if I can recall what his name was. But asking about Perriman, and we've talked about him a little bit earlier this week. Obviously, Blake played with him at Central Florida, but you know, the knock on him is not great hands. Great athlete, can get deep. I don't think that's what they're looking for. I think they're, you know, if they go the receiver route, they have still, Tony, even now going into year three of the build or whatever you want to look at, the Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley regime, they still have several significant holes to fill. I know Dave said, you know, we can go into this draft not having to draft for need because we feel like we could field a team right now. And you could, but certainly you have to think they'd like to come away with at least one, if not two, linebackers out of this group. And they want to get a pass rusher, maybe a slot receiver, maybe a running back. And, you know, Perriman would seem like he's a luxury. Kiper now thinks he's going in the top 15.
Right.
As far as that goes. So you can forget that if you want him to come to Jacksonville. Breshad Perriman is not going to be the guy that is getting his name called by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even I don't even think if they trade back, that's very much of a likelihood.
No.
You know?
I wouldn't think so.
Right. I mean, they want to develop Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson as outside receivers, and that seems to be what Perriman looks like to me with my non-scouting viewpoint, if you know what I mean. So we'll get into that.
Perriman is shooting up a bunch of draft boards.
He is. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. I got shocked, absolutely amazed that Dave Caldwell would come in for those 5 seconds at the end of the segment there.
Yeah.
and just say who he thinks is the leading candidate to be picked at number 3. That was a shocker, though,
you know,
huh?
It's like he felt like it was a mistake and started just pulling cords out of our board immediately.
All right, all right, all right. You know what, Dave? I won't repeat it. I don't know. Do you think he was kidding with us? No, we're kidding with you. I don't know what happened. We're off. You know somebody right now is very angry and taking this all out of context. That's okay. Do whatever you like. You know, what can I do? I can't worry about the way you feel about the silly things we say. Just can't worry about it. Dave Caldwell did not come in here and tell us who he's taking with the 3rd pick. But
no.
He stood in the hall and did it. He yelled.
That's right.
You could probably hear it through the microphone.
He yelled, Breshad Perriman.
Breshad Perriman is not the pick at 3. And then he ran down the hall. All right. What do you make of the Buccaneers? Following Justin Blackmon out to Stillwater, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't this come out like a week or two ago? Am I crazy or didn't we hear something about this?
We've talked about or heard about this before.
About Blackmon specifically being
followed, because of the Jameis Winston thing and the away from the field stuff that could potentially be following Jameis Winston. I remember it was specifically Tampa because the idea was, well, what are they doing to try to vet Jameis Winston away from the field? And then the story came out about what they had done to vet Justin Blackmon.
Right. So why is this then treated as breaking news yesterday?
I don't know.
There was some more detail to it. I mean, the name of the bar and the fact that they sent, I don't know, a scout, whomever, to sit in the bar. You see, it's for 8 hours a day for a week. 5 or 7 days, whatever it was. But the better part of a week. And to see how
it's
often...
It's good work if you can get it.
Seriously, what do you do if you're going to sit? Can you drink? Are you on the job drinking?
I don't know if you can be the guy that's sitting in the bar for 8 hours a
with
day
not
drinking.
Not drinking, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess if you order food and
not raise some suspicion.
Right. I mean, even if you are drinking, you're probably raising some suspicion, aren't you? I mean, this Lush, where did this new Lush come
from? Who's this nude guy?
Right. I mean, he's in here 8 hours yesterday.
Give me another,
today.
You so-and-so.
I can't believe it. It's a cricket. What a ridiculous name.
Let me ask you, have you seen Justin Blackmon?
Is he going to be here today? So apparently he came in, I don't know how frequently, but more frequently than the Bucks were comfortable with.
Right.
As far as that goes. And some people are, you know, going all cuckoo because, they're getting spied on. Jameis Winston was spied on. Hey, you know what? Call it what you will. If you want to call it spying, I'm not going to get into the semantic argument with you, okay? You're in public, and you're a public figure. And if you're Jameis Winston, you're certainly a major public figure, okay? A Heisman Trophy winner and all the other stuff that came off the field. You know you're a major public
Absolutely,
figure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay? Justin Blackmon, Biletnikoff Award winner. He won it twice, right? He's a public figure, maybe not to the same degree. Maybe he feels he's within the protective confines of his home turf. But, bro, if you don't want somebody to react badly to your behavior, don't act badly, right? Have good behavior, right? And, look, I tell you what, Tony. Right now, I was telling somebody the other day, you never catch me having a DUI. You know why? Because you're not going to catch me drinking and driving. I won't do it, right? Now, I'm not saying I've never gotten behind the wheel after I've had alcohol in me. I was stupid. We all did stupid things when we were younger. So a lot of us did, okay? Thankfully, I didn't hurt anybody, all right? But, I watch my behavior. Look, first of all, I'm on the radio. Not everybody knows what I look like. But all it takes is one person to say, hey, I saw Mike doing so-and-so. And then it becomes a major issue for you, you know? First of all, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Look, I'm not saying don't cut loose, have fun, but be smart if you're out in public, especially if it can impact your draft stock. Okay, I don't have any issue whatsoever. The Bucks want to send a representative to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and put him up in a bar for a week and for 8 hours a day. You know what? If Justin Blackmon didn't go in there a bunch, they wouldn't have had an issue with him. Maybe they would have stayed there at number 5 and taken him in the draft instead of trading back with the Jags and taking Mark Barron, who... What a colossal bust that turned out to be, because they ended up dumping him for a couple of later picks.
And you wonder what the Jags, if they did that kind of research on Justin Blackmon, whether they did or not, if they didn't, and if they had known that information about what Justin Blackmon was doing, and I don't know if the Jaguars did or didn't do that kind of research, would that have changed their mindset going into that draft? Is Michael Floyd a Jacksonville Jaguars receiver right now if... the Jaguars were in the position that Tampa Bay was in. I don't know.
Tony, I clearly remember at the time because Michael Floyd had a couple of run-ins, right? And I can't remember the specifics. Did he have a DUI? I know there was an underage drinking issue
as
well.
Yeah, they both had the same kind of deal.
But Floyd had a little bit more, okay? He had two or three instances, maybe one DUI, and then a couple of other things where he might have been cited for drinking underage, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, not everyone, but there was a conversation about the character issue with Michael Floyd. I clearly remember saying, well, wait a minute, you know, Justin Blackman's had a DUI. But
he had the kid.
Right, he did have the kid who he helped out, and he befriended and all that. And and I remember the narrative at the time. Well, we vetted this guy. We felt it was an isolated incident. Well, clearly, I don't think they went to the lengths that the Buccaneers did. And, you know, you could say in hindsight they should have, they shouldn't have, but, you know, that's whatever. I don't know if that's standard practice, but I guess if you have a risky guy, certainly the Bucs felt like it was worthwhile to do. And for them, you know, even though they ended up taking Mark Barron, who didn't pan out to be a top 10 worthy pick,
right?
They picked up extra draft picks in the trade back, okay? And then at least they got something for him. I don't know if you'd get a cup of warm water for Justin Blackman right now because his status is so up in the air. Clearly a talented guy, but I personally don't have an issue with all that you know, spying, call it what you will. I think it's due diligence if you're the Buccaneers. If you place a listening device, you know, in his house, you know these stories, Tony. They talk to your grammar school teacher. They mm-hmm. talk to this. They talk to that. We've heard this for years, right? So how much different is it than just showing up and observing you in your quote-unquote natural environment? They didn't sneak into your house. They didn't sneak into your dorm. They didn't go, you know, to that length. They went to a public place where you might not even go, and you showed up.
Look, we're at a point in the NFL where the drug policy is so serious, and because it includes any run-ins with the law, alcohol, any of these types of things, the consequences for it are so serious in today's NFL that if you're going to be considering taking a guy in the top 5, 10, first round of the NFL draft, you better be doing everything you can to make sure that guy's going to be a good citizen for you. I mean, it is an important part of it. I'm not saying that you can't draft guys that have questionable character things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you need to be comfortable with where that person is in their life and whatever the heck they're dealing with away from the field, because you get in situations like the Jaguars find themselves in with Justin Blackman, like Cleveland finds themselves in right now. It's the consequences are more serious than they've ever been for the players. You're missing a year because you got drunk twice. That's where the NFL is right now. You're missing a year because you got drunk and got caught doing it twice. It hasn't ever been like that in this league, but it is right now. So you better be sending a guy to the bar if you have a kid who got caught underage drinking. You better be checking out.
And you're going to take him top five.
Right. You better be checking out who he is, what he does behind the scenes when he doesn't think anybody is watching him do his thing.
You don't have the personnel nor the inclination. You're not going to do this with everybody that you might possibly draft at any point in the draft. You're going to do your homework, but you can't. You don't have the time and the resources. You don't know who's going to be available when you have the fifth pick in the draft or the seventh, and as the Jags did, I believe, and traded up to the fifth pick. It's a limited number of candidates that you have to really concern yourself with. And out of those, you can probably figure some of them that are going to be off the board or you're not interested in. So it's a small number that we're talking about here. And you're talking about spending a top 10 pick at the position. So don't have an issue with it personally. I can understand why others might, but I would, you know, I disagree with that viewpoint. Ryan O'Halloran, by the way, of the Florida Times Union, tweeting out, Tyler, I didn't see the tweet you passed us along to us per a Monday morning quarterback interview. I'm not sure what that means.
It's an upcoming interview.
But per Monday morning quarterback interview, what does that mean?
I guess he has an interview and there was excerpts that were released to the media this morning.
But what is did he interview Peter King? Is that what, I mean, I'm not sure.
That's the O'Halloran tweet.
Okay. Per Monday morning quarterback interview, Dante Fowler will visit with the Jaguars after the Florida Pro Day next week. Not a shock whatsoever, right? I mean, good reporting that, you know, to confirm that that's going to happen, but you would expect that to happen, right? Certainly on the short list of guys that, hey, Dante, stay out of crickets, okay? All right, or any of the other watering holes. I heard Jeff Prosser bemoaning the loss of some of the favorite eateries and watering holes in Gainesville over the years. I'm not going to – you already think bad enough about me this week out there for what I told you about the near prank that we got involved with in high school. I'm not going to remind anybody who may have forgotten what I once did in the establishment called Balls in Gainesville and a particular Gator halftime. Right, so I'm just going to move on and turn the page on that particular one.
Actually, the interview has been released. It came out this morning. It was done by Jenny Varentes. I hope I'm saying her
Jenny Varentes, okay.
Yep. And he also gets into talking about his time with Florida and learning under Dan Quinn, the new Falcons coach.
I got you. So Jenny Varentes interviewed Dante Fowler.
Yep.
Now, I was unclear on that because, to me, I was reading like Ryan O'Halloran interviewed someone associated with Monday Morning Quarterback and glean this piece of information. So I just read that wrong. Put that one on me. By the way, if you want to spy on me, come find me at the golf course this afternoon. That's where I'm going to be. 6-4-1-10
Playing again today,
if you'd like to get in. I'm playing today and tomorrow morning. I don't know if I've ever played this much golf in this short amount of time, Tony, since I got the new clubs. Got them fitted at Golf Tech. Free plug from my boys over at Golf Tech. They did a tremendous job. Like I said, I hit as many bad shots, and maybe a few less because they're more forgiving, but the good ones go a lot longer than they used to, and that's the key for me. All right, Mel Kiper's got his top 10 by position. Love to share with you the specifics of that, Tony. I don't know if I can do anything on this computer today. Absolutely.
What position do you want to start
mind.
With?
Well, let's start with the defensive end position because he lumps a lot of these guys in there. He takes Randy Gregory and Vic Beasley out of the equation, right? And he puts them in the outside linebacker category. Mm-hmm. So give us a look. What does the top five look like among defensive ends? And give me a sense of how deep Mel seems to think that the position goes in the draft.
Here's the top five defensive ends. He's got Leonard Williams, number one, Dante Fowler, Jr., two, Shane Ray, three, Eric Armstead out of Oregon, four, and Preston Smith out of Mississippi State. Five, look, I like that position for the Jaguars. Obviously, that's where I think the Jaguars are going with that number three pick. I think it's logical.
If they stay.
Right, and it's something that I don't know if you and I have gotten into yet, but I look at, look, we talked about middle linebacker for this team and the idea that they have to find an answer beyond Paul Posluszny and at some point in this draft address that, right? They still want to find another guy that can play the auto behind Skuda. So you think about those two linebacker positions. I look at the Leo for this football team. Chris Clemens is, what, 32?
Right.
You're going to get maybe another year from him.
You got Andre Branch in the final year of his deal.
Right. He's in a contract year. It makes so much sense for the Jags at that number three spot to be looking to address that kind of position. When you're looking at what it goes to beyond that, just the top five, the kid out of UCLA whose name I can't begin to say.
I had it the other day because somebody spelled it. You know who spelled it phonetically? It was Hayes Carline, I think.
Uamagbe.
I think he had the Jags, Hayes did, in his seven potential picks for the Jags, maybe selecting him in the second round. I think he might have gone Leonard Williams and this kid, two defensive linemen.
That's where he's being projected right now.
I got no issue with that if they want to go two guys on the defensive front as far as that goes.
Mario Edwards at seven, Daniel Hunter at eight, Trey Flowers from Arkansas, and Henry Anderson out of Stanford there at number 10. Look, that feels like a pretty deep position in this draft. If you're able to get a guy that feels like they're going to have the impact of that kid out of UCLA in the top of the second round, but it certainly does feel like a significant drop-off from what you're getting at three.
Mario Edwards Jr. is an interesting guy, highly acclaimed, and to me, just watching Florida State, not breaking down the film, he strikes me as much more of a run defender, more of the same cut as Red Bryant, Leonard Williams, that kind of defensive end, right? Hold the point of attack. He'll get you some pressure. But here's the thing that would concern me about him. Listed at Florida State, I want to say 2 years ago, around in the 295 range, and looked every bit of it, right?
Yes, he did.
Big, thick, and you're like, wow, does he have enough burst? Now has dropped down in the low 270s, and you wonder, is that just to improve his measurables, you know, his explosiveness, his agility, his timed 40, all that stuff? Is he going to be able to, which weight is he going to play at? What's going to make him more effective? What kind of defensive end is he? I think he's a solid player. I don't think he's a guy that you necessarily line up and target when you go into the NFL draft.
No, and with where he is on that list, you would think Mel Kiper's basically saying he's a second round prospect in this draft, which I've seen him second or third somewhere in
there. I think it's a little high for my taste for Mario Edwards Jr. as far as that goes. Outside linebacker, I finally technology caught up with me here. I do. Let's just look at this, and we'll look at some others coming up on the other side. Randy Gregory has moved to the outside linebacker spot. And talking about how he's 235, he says there's no way he could reasonably, this is Kuiper talking, reasonably project Randy Gregory out of Nebraska growing into a 4-3 defensive end at this point. He's got Randy Gregory, Vic Beasley, and Bud Dupree in that order among the top outside linebacker candidates, and says they could go in any order. It's really going to come down to team
preference. I like
preference,
those two guys.
As far as that goes, Beasley and Dupree?
Yep.
Dupree's a lot bigger than Beasley, right? I mean, Dupree, like, in the 265.
He's more Fowler size, yeah.
Right, I could see him more. Like, I'm not. If you told me Vic Beasley's coming in, what is Vic Beasley? Is he a Leo, or is he more of a? Is he best suited as a 3-4 outside linebacker rush guy? You know, in one of those kind of defenses.
I don't know. Look, I think that when we were talking about the article from Mel Kiper yesterday with the 10 sure thing prospects, we were talking about some of that, and he had the different categories for different guys. And he was talking about a guy like Shaq Thompson specifically, who's on this list at number 5 at outside linebacker. But in a league where there is no set defense, everybody's running these kind of hybrid defenses now, it feels like. I don't know that you're running a 3-4 or 4-3. It's kind of like what the Jaguars do is just basically to try to take advantage of a guy that can play with his hand in the dirt or standing up and just be an athlete there on the edge. And Vic Beasley fits that kind of bill the same way that Bud Dupree and Dante Fowler fit that kind of bill. It's not that they are specifically this. It's that they can do a little bit of everything that you ask a guy in that kind of position on this defense to do.
Well, who would you rather have right now, Dante Fowler or Vic Beasley?
I'm torn between the two guys, but I'm probably leaning Fowler.
I am too. I would say Fowler because to me he projects as you don't have issue. He's big enough to stop there. I think he'd hold up against the run. I wonder if Vic Beasley is going to get blown out of some plays, you know, at his side. You can't run around everybody in the National Football League. And I'm not saying you can't have counter moves and all that. And I'm sure he's strong for his size. And we've seen guys, excel at smaller sizes at defensive end in the past. But you can almost name them all, right? Because that it's how rare it is. Oh, yeah, well, Doomerville does it. Okay. And Freeney and Mathis, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there are not too many of them down in that what Vic Beasley's range is right now in terms of the size-weight ratio kind of thing going
on.
No,
245 is light.
Impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
245 is light to be playing that position.
We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll get a few more of Mel Kiper's top 10 by position. A couple of others, including wide receiver, running back. Plus, one guy, maybe is a top 10 talent, but nobody's talking about going in the top 10 of the draft. But one guy thinks he may actually go in the top 10. Does that make sense? I think it does, and we'll explain who that is coming up. Don't forget, Friday Top 5 today brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you what are your top 5 movies that you've watched the most in your life, the 5 movies that you have seen the absolute most. And we'll go through ours a little bit later on with some sound accompaniment, and we'll get to some of yours as well if you tweet us your submissions or post them on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Jaguars Today continues live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jags announced their off-season workout dates yesterday. Don't know if that's important to you or not, but I'm sure there'll be some open practices, much as there were last year. What'd they have the first one, Tony, last year? 6,100, something like that?
Something like that, yeah, for
something that ballpark,
the rookie
right?
mini camp.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was the biggest turnout they've ever had at an all-season practice before. But OTAs, mini camps will be here before you know it. You don't get, if you're not a new coach, you don't get to have that bonus mini camp in. But I'm sure they'll have a rookie mini camp shortly after the draft. They'll be out on the field not too long after that. No contact for most of that stuff, at least ostensibly no contact, at least under the rules. You're not allowed to have that. But we'll obviously cover those in full, probably do some shows from outside. It'd be nice to get out there. 81 degrees is a high today, Tony. Absolutely gorgeous.
It won't be that way in May.
It could stop at 81. 81's good. If it stayed this way the whole year, I'd be fine with that, man. That would be I'd be fine with 75 as the high.
Me too.
Year round. Before we get back to Kiper, I mentioned top 10 talent who may go, nobody's really talking about as a top 10 pick in the draft. And we talked with Scott Wright at Draft Countdown early in the week and, remarked that he had Todd Gurley ranked as his number 4 player.
Mm-hmm.
Well, D. Orlando Ledbetter, I think he's a pretty good reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's been covering the Falcons for a long time. Put out a mock draft, and he's got the Falcons taking Gurley with the 8th overall pick in the draft. Now, look, the way I look at it, if the guy could go 17th to San Diego, what's the big difference between 17 and 8 if you really need that position? You think that guy is, if he's going to be healthy, as elite of a prospect. I think if Gurley wasn't healthy at all, we'd be talking about, as you said, we'd have a bunch of people asking us, are the Jags going to take him at 3, right?
Yeah.
Got a big need for running back.
If
he had not been hurt, right? And he continued to play the way he had played up until that point, that there'd be a lot of clamoring for the Jags to select him that high. Whether they would have or not, completely different story. But I think that guy is freakishly talented. And if, the question is, does he come back 100% from that knee? Well, a lot of guys have. Some guys haven't as well. So there's certainly a risk factor in there. You don't know
right. If
he's going to be able to work out for teams individually. What will he be able to do? I would imagine, because remember, he didn't go through the medical check at the combine. Okay? He's going to have to sit down with some medical staff, something. It's going to have to be something done where teams can get the most up-to-date medical information on his knee, right? Mm-hmm. And not just take the word of Dr. James Andrews or somebody that, it's so-and-so, it's whatever. They want to look at it themselves. So I don't know if each individual team is going to do it or there's going to be some kind of a one-stop clearinghouse opportunity for a medical check where that information is made available to all the teams. But I understand his point of view. He doesn't want people yanking on his knee that stage of the rehab process.
Yeah.
But coming up, if you want to invest a top 10 pick on this guy in the draft, he's coming off a torn ACL, I want somebody to tug on the knee. I want to, you know what I mean? It's a different thing with Aaron Colvin. You got him in the 4th round last year. Maybe he was a 1st round, 2nd round talent. You got him in the 4th round, a lot less risk in the 4th round.
And it's an interesting spot with it being Atlanta, being the team that is considering that if the Orlando is correct. Look, you assume the Jags are probably going to wind up taking one of those pass rushers off the board, whether it be Leonard Williams or Dante Fowler or whoever. I would assume by the time Atlanta picks that 2 or 3 of those defensive line players are probably going to be off the board. Now, they're in a position where maybe because of what's been happening in the last month, Randy Gregory is now in their sights. Maybe that's a player they didn't think was going to fall to them at 8. Maybe he would have anyway. But if you're Atlanta at 8 and now the consideration is, all right, we can go get Randy Gregory or take a shot on a guy like Todd Gurley, I think the decision's a little more interesting than it was 3 weeks ago before Randy Gregory stupidly failed a drug test.
Who's coaching the Falcons now? Dan Quinn,
right?
Comes from Seattle, so is he going to want to build the defensive line? Certainly he is, right? You're following the Gus Bradley model like Gus did, okay? They coach the same defense. What else do they have in Seattle? Get that beast mode guy. Right? And that is probably the single running back that Gurley has been most compared to that I've seen in the scouting process. He's got good speed, maybe even more speed than Marshawn Lynch when he's healthy. But he's got that bruising running style. He can run away from you. He can run over you. He's got a nose for the end zone. Can catch a ball out of the backfield. He can do a lot. And people are saying maybe the most talented back to come out since Adrian Peterson. I don't think that's ridiculous to suggest, but I don't think he is Adrian Peterson. I think I could see him a little bit more Marshawn Lynch-like, and if you are Dan Quinn and you're saying, wow, we've already got the quarterback in place, we got one superstar young receiver, we've got an aging vet who you can probably still squeeze a couple good years out of in Roddy White, give me that guy. Do I want to put my ground game, if I want to lean a little bit more on the run game because it was such a successful formula. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have Matt Ryan throw the football, but is Devontae Freeman the guy you're going to hang your hat on? Now, then again, you can be like a lot of teams and say, oh, wait till round 3, round 4, whatever. Right. I'll grab this guy and do the same thing with him. But I think Gurley is a cut above if healthy, and that's the risk, though.
No, I do too. And if he was healthy, I think it would be interesting to have the discussion about whether the Jags should be considering Gurley at 3. When you consider where this team is right now, I do think that Dave Caldwell and the interest they had in DeMarco Murray indicates that he feels like this team is about ready to compete starting in 2015 because he's talked about running back being among those last pieces you bring in to a competitive roster. So that's an indication to me that Dave Caldwell feels like this team is close. There's certainly a lot of speculation about whether the Jags are going to spend a second or third round pick on the running back position and get a guy in here that they feel like can be that first and second down running back. I saw Brandon, one of the guys I follow on Twitter that's part of Jaguars Twitter yesterday, just taking a look at some of the statistics for the Jags.
Break it down, Brandon.
And one of the things he talked about was Blake Bortles had 37 pass attempts a game last year. 37. And for a guy to have to attempt to throw the ball that much for a team that kept saying it wants to be run first, run first, run first. And then the comparison.
Is that a ton? I want to know what the league average is.
I don't know what the league average is.
It doesn't seem that ridiculous in today's NFL.
Seattle threw it 24 times a game.
Yeah, but Seattle's winning every game with defense and running game.
I know they are, but that's kind of the point of the Todd Gurley argument, is if you are trying to find your beast mode, it's because you want to limit the exposure of your quarterback. And there was a reason to want to limit the exposure of Blake Bortles last year behind a bad offensive line with a bunch of young receivers trying to figure things out. There were reasons to want to do that, and because of the situations in games or because of what they felt like they actually had in the running game, they weren't able to do that. And I think that may be part of the thinking, too, from Dave Caldwell is we need to take some of the heat off of this guy. Not that we don't think he can handle it, because he handled it pretty darn well last year, but if we're going to be successful, we need to take some of the heat and pressure off of Blake Bortles.
To be quite honest with you, I'm not shocked at that number. 37 doesn't seem shocking to me, particularly, again, Jags lost 13 games. It means they're trailing in a bunch of games. So when you're trailing, particularly when you're trailing by multiple scores, it's tough to stick with the run game, particularly when it's not effective. So I agree with you. In an ideal world, they like to bring that number down. I don't think they want to bring it down in the range of what they're doing up in Seattle. That's an aberration.
That's a beast mode.
I mean, you've got, right, you've got beast mode, and you've got a quarterback who runs a ton. And Blake is a guy who could certainly extend the play and take off running as well. But Russell Wilson ran a lot last year. And you've got arguably the best defense in the league last year, but certainly over the last couple of years, you've got the best defense. So the Jags, while an improving defense, are not quite in that circumstance. I think that's the extreme low end. You want to say 30-ish, fine. And to me, all right, what's 7 pass attempts a game? I don't think it's that drastic. That's for me. I don't know what they have in mind. Let me give you a quick look, by the way, at some of the guys that D'Orlando Ledbetter has going in what spots here. He's got Winston first, obviously. He's got Leonard Williams to the Tennessee Titans. Has the Jags taken Dante Fowler with the 3rd pick in that scenario? He's probably not projecting trades. He's got Amari Cooper going to the Raiders, who, by the way, the Raiders, I just saw a blurb, will visit with Michael Crabtree next week. Or Crabtree will visit with the Raiders, however you want to look at it. So,
okay.
Been mostly quiet on the Crabtree front. We talked about
it
a
little
bit. By
the way, just quickly projected, that would put Blake, if he had played all 16 games at that kind of pace, around 9th or 10th in the league.
For 37 a game?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's still 9th or 10th. It's not the most, and probably most of the teams in front of them are either A, super prolific pass offenses like Denver, or they're really bad teams. I would think it's one of the two, right?
Your guys are Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, Eli Manning, Derek Carr, Peyton Manning, Ryan Tannehill. And he'd be about even with Tom Brady.
And that's mostly what you had. You had most of those guys were elite passing offenses. You had a guy like Derek Carr on a crappy team, probably playing from behind a lot. So it seems reasonable. And you probably want to bring that down maybe to mid-pack. But I don't think you want to be, I don't know. I don't want to be down in the mid-20s in terms of pass attempts a game. Moving on here, Amari Cooper going to the Oakland Raiders. This is D'Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's mock. He's got Vic Beasley going to Washington, Marcus Mariota going to the Jets at 6, Shane Ray going to the Bears, and then he's got Gurley going to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, is he trying to throw a bone to the Falcons/Georgia Bulldog fans? Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, get him interested, get him intrigued by it, but he's a pretty straight shooter. I've gotten to know D'Orlando over the years a little bit. Wouldn't put it past him in the very first version of your mock draft to try to mix things up a little bit. A couple of other names of interest. I think Kevin White going 12th to the Cleveland Browns, followed immediately by Devontae Parker to the New Orleans Saints. He's got Randy Gregory at 15 to San Francisco. Bud Dupree, we talk a lot about, going 17th to the San Diego Chargers. Melvin Gordon, second running back off the board, going to the Cleveland Browns with the 19th pick. That's a little bit of an odd pick. I don't know if that team can afford to invest in running back in the first round. They've got Crowell there, who, as an undrafted free agent, did fairly well last year. Ereck Flowers, the offensive tackle out of Miami, he's got 21st. DJ Humphries, we talked about earlier, has him as a first-round pick, going to Carolina, 25th overall. And let's see, who else here? And then finally, Breshad Perriman, who we've discussed a little bit this morning, has him with the final pick of the first round to the New England Patriots. And they do need a true field-stretching guy in New England, and that is what he profiles to be. That would be a sensical pick if he is going to land in the first round. That would be a logical team for him to line up with. All right, we'll get back to Kuiper if we have time, but here's what we got coming up. We've got this date in football history. We've got the Honda drive around the NFL. We've got our Friday top five movies you've seen the most frequently watched in your life. For you personally, tweet us your list at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. We'll go through ours coming up a little bit later on and recap some of yours as well. Claude Nolan Cadillac since 1905, serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They have the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville, and they have absolutely no dealer fees. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any Cadillac model. Claude Nolan Cadillac guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac just one step away. You could build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. This date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Birthdays today, 1949 on April the 3rd. Lyle Alzado was born. Lyle Alzado, who said he never drank alcohol, never smoked cigarettes, never used any illegal drugs except steroids, and completely attributed his brain tumor, which killed him at the age of 43, to his steroid use, denied it for years. He was a bit actor in a number of movies as well. He passed, he was born on this date in 1949, passed away in 1993. Lyle Alzado, also notable birthday, 1969, Rodney Hampton, NFL running back, most notably with the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. On this date in 1991, Bo Jackson. He was done with his NFL career, but he signed a one-year contract with the Chicago White Sox. I just gave you the White Sox, Tony. Give me the four professional teams that Bo Jackson played for in baseball and football combined.
Kansas City, Chicago.
Kansas City Royals, Chicago White Sox.
Oakland.
Oakland Raiders.
And there were, who was the four?
Oh, it's the tricky one. Huh?
I know
it is.
That's
why I asked you. Can't count the Bucks. He got drafted by the Bucks.
I don't remember.
It was the California Angels.
That's right.
Last year.
Yep.
Finished up. Did he have more carries in the NFL or hits in Major League Baseball? What do you got?
Ugh, I'd go hits.
Hits. He had nearly 600 hits. He had only 515 carries, something like that, in the National Football League in his entire career. Bo Jackson, 4 years, and three of those 4 years with the Raiders, had a run of at least 88 yards from scrimmage. Could pick him up and put him down. And his best year in the majors, 32 home runs, 105 runs batted in, stole 26 bases, only caught 9 times with a career-high 132 hits. He was a lifetime 250 hitter, hit 256 that year. Power, a lot of strikeouts, but dazzling plays in the field and towering home runs on the diamond, as well as those long, long runs and running over, absolutely trucking Brian Bosworth among his many professional highlights. All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Right there on Gate Parkway, if you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, you can't do better than calling 620-9225 for Dr. McCall. Check out the custom fit SomnaMed Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. Visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Denver Broncos have agreed to a one-year contract with recently released defensive lineman Antonio Smith, who was with the Oakland Raiders last year. The Miami Dolphins have reached a one-year agreement with free agent quarterback Josh Freeman, who has found himself another job in the league. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded safety Deshaun Goldson to the Washington Redskins for a sixth-round pick in next year's draft. I did see Ryan O'Halloran from the Times Union tweeting out a few moments ago regarding that trade, that it would benefit the Jaguars to convert some of Mercedes Lewis' salary to a signing bonus so that they can maybe work out a trade.
You know, Ryan brought that up yesterday. It's like, hey, you know, somebody could give him something on draft day and then redo his contract. I don't think anybody's going to take Mercedes Lewis and give the Jags much for Mercedes with the contract that's currently constituted.
No.
Right? Because you've got 1 year and what is it, like over $7 million mm-hmm. on the deal, right? Now, if you do it as a signing bonus, though, Tony, he gets that money. You're paying him that money. So even if you trade him, you're paying for the right to trade him. So if you convert a big chunk of that, basically you're going to say, well, we're going to pay Mercedes Lewis, or we're going to buy a draft pick for $5 or $6 million and not have Mercedes Lewis to show for it. I don't think it's as clean cut as Ryan wanted to make it sound yesterday.
Well, I know
on
the Goldson deal, I think the Bucks are still on the hook for $4 million, I think, this year for him, with the way that it worked out. But the prosecution in the murder trial of Aaron Hernandez rested their case yesterday after nearly 2 months and 131 witnesses, including the Patriots owner Bob Kraft. The defense will be presenting their case on Monday and is expected to be done by the end of the day Monday, so not a long case to be presented. Closing arguments and the jury deliberation would follow soon after that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good feel for this. I mean, it seemed like, as celebrity cases go, it seemed like a pretty timely process, right? It moved pretty quickly once it got to trial. I haven't read much conjecture one way or the other as to whether or not he's likely to get convicted. I don't know. I think there's. I'm not going to be stunned if the jury finds they haven't proven their case, just because I don't have that strong sense that, boy, this is going to be a slam dunk. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence there, and the defense hasn't had a chance to put on their defense up until this point. So we shall see. All right, coming up next, we will unveil our top five most watched movies, at least the ones we can recall that we think we've watched the most. tough to say. There's no ticker in my head that notches another one every time I put on one of these flicks, but we'll do that coming up, and you can share yours by tweeting at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler as well, or go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Get your popcorn ready. The top five movies that we've seen all time coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Time to count it down. Top five movies today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships.
This is the only part of this song I like.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. It's all right. Whatever. It depends on the mood I'm in. Struck me as good. Well played, Tyler Devitt. I like it. Top five movies today, we're asking you, that you've watched the most. Basically, if you watch the same movie over and over and over and over again every day, that's probably in your top five.
Yeah. This is actually, this song was on the soundtrack to one of the movies that just missed my top five, but wasn't actually in the movie. But they put it on the soundtrack.
What was it?
Rocky IV.
What I thought as soon as I heard this. I'm like, there's Rocky, right?
It's not in the movie.
It's not in the movie, but it's on the soundtrack.
It's on the soundtrack, but it's not in the movie.
All right, moving along. Top five movies that we've seen the most in our lives. This is inspired by my crush on Mary Visconti back in my DeLand senior high days, who used to air The Breakfast Club every day, as I recall.
That's crazy.
At 3 o'clock. Every day you go to Mary's house. And, you know, back then, Tony, we're in the dark ages, okay? Now, my family, I've told you many times, we're the last one to get the microwave, last one to get the color TV. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, whatever. We had this black and white TV works fine, boy. You know, when it breaks, we'll consider getting a new one. All right. So it was that kind of situation. So I certainly didn't have the VCR early. So, you know, going to Mary's house to watch Breakfast Club was like, oh, this is phenomenal. Unbelievable. So We watch that a lot. I would imagine that's in her top five of all time. And I watch The Breakfast Club a lot.
I would imagine if she's watching it every day, it should be number
one.
Yeah,
throughout the high school days. Who knows what she's done since then? I don't know. Haven't stayed in touch with Mary Viscotti. But anyway, counting it down, let's begin the countdown.
Number five.
Five.
Come on.
Five.
Five.
Number five.
All right, we have clips from all these movies, right? Little brief clips that Tyler has dug up for us, or that Tony specifically directed him the exact clip that he wanted. They're like 2 minutes long. Your clips are like 2 minutes long.
No.
Look, I want to highlight all my movies.
I gave him 30 seconds.
2 minutes worth of clips. All right, so give us the movie, and then cue the clip, all right? What's your number five?
Number five for me, we'll get straight to the schlocky kind of B-horror stuff. Like, I could include a lot of movies in the top five, and part of my thinking was I wanted to include a couple that wouldn't be on anyone else's list. This one, to this point, has succeeded. Nobody else has mentioned this movie, and it was part of the Friday night lineup that I was talking about earlier, where we rotated these movies in and through. There were a couple others that I've already seen mentioned. I'll mention a little bit later on again. But number five for me, starring Kevin Bacon, is Tremors.
Hey, wake up! Now look! Now, you see, they're headed right for us. They trapped Edgar here, grabbed old Fred right here, nailed those two poor suckers on the road, and the doctor's place is right here! Now, this valley is just one long smorgasbord. We have got to get out.
Look, Kevin Bacon gets a bad rap. This movie...
What's wrong with Kevin Bacon?
He gets a bad... A lot of people don't like Kevin Bacon for whatever reason.
My favorite movie of all time may have been his greatest role. I'll tell you that later.
But it's not even on your list.
It's not on my list.
But number five for me is Tremors. We used to watch this movie. I've never owned it. I think I've probably seen it 45 times. And I couldn't find any clips, like, on YouTube of this movie. The only thing I could find was someone had uploaded the entire thing. And I was sitting there a couple nights ago trying to find a clip from Tremors. I wound up watching the whole damn movie one more time.
Just 46 times.
Yeah, I've seen it so many times. I love Tremors. It's funny. It isn't really all that scary, but I find new moments to enjoy every time I watch it. Number five for me, Tremors.
There's a reason, Tyler, that Tremors is on no one else's list.
It's good stuff.
I can't think of that reason.
Schlocky B-horror at its best.
All right, Tyler, Devitt, step up to the plate. What you got for number five?
All right, I'm from Indiana, as most people know, so I gotta put my Hoosiers, one of the greatest sports movies of all time, on my list.
Where are you going?
In the game.
Sit down.
What do you mean? You gotta have five out there.
Sit down. Sit.
Coach, need one more.
My team's on the floor.
My team is on the floor. Oh, God, such a good movie.
Four, because we're tough. We're Hoosiers. You know, as you say that, I'm like, I watch a hell out of some Hoosiers. I don't know. That could be in my top five, Tony, if there was really a way to calculate. That's a great movie. I agree with you, Tyler. It's one of the. We're not doing the sports movie show.
Yeah.
I think we've retired that show because it's so cliche. But probably my top five sports movies of all time is Hoosiers.
It might be. I'm trying to think of what sports movie I've seen the most.
I'm not talking about watching the most. I just think among the best five sports movies ever.
I get what you're saying. I don't have a sports movie in my five. I'm trying to figure out which one I've seen. Probably The Natural.
I had one till I bumped it yesterday. We'll go through also Rands and others under consideration coming up. My number five, this is more, I love the movie, but this is more of my wife's pick. Now, I could have put Overboard in here, because I guarantee you, if Overboard comes on, it's a hell of a day at sea, sir, in the Dempsey household, because my wife has ultimate veto. If Overboard is on, she can veto anything on television to watch Overboard. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that came about.
More
but
Kurt
it did.
Russell to come, people.
But I went with Trading Places, and this may be my favorite aspect of the movie right here.
You had to make sure the dude had his payroll before I made my move.
Tell us how you cut him.
I ain't cut him with no knife, man.
But you told me last night you cut the dude.
With these I cut him. I am a chain belt in Kung Fu. Bruce Lee was my teacher. Watch this. Quarter blood technique. You do that, a quarter blood will drop out of a person's body.
Tell how you beat on a cop.
Wasn't no cop, man. It was cops. Plural.
Now, you didn't even say the best single bit of that. If you say the word karate, I am contractually obligated to say Karate Man Bruise on the Inside. Which I think is one of the funniest lines in any movie. He's a chain belt, Tony. He's a chain belt, Eddie Murphy is. Just absolutely love every aspect of that movie. Seen it a billion times. And so Trading Places, my number five. Moving up.
1, 2, 3, 4.
4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4.
Number 4. Tyler Devitt.
All right, so there are a lot of stupid people in this world, and Billy Madison was one of them and went back to school. And one of my favorite responses that he's ever gotten in some feedback was this.
Mr. Madison, what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, a simple wrong would have done just fine. But
I feel like some people deserve that response sometimes.
I've heard that gets used a lot in radio, and it's been quoted a lot, and people say, do little snippets of that all the time.
Billy Madison, when that clown jumps back up while he's doing that musical number, it gets me every time.
Honestly,
it hits me every time.
I've probably seen Billy Madison twice, if that. I probably watched it the first time, thought, okay, that's pretty funny. I don't go back to movies unless they're on TV, usually.
Right.
Don't see them in the theater, certainly more than once, with rare exception. But all right, Billy Madison, heard that clip a bunch. That's Tyler's number four. My number four, this was one yesterday I didn't have on the list. I had Rocky on, and I bumped him. Isn't it weird, though? I had Rocky at four, and I didn't bump Trading Places.
Who knows, man.
I just left Trading Places at
Who
five.
Who knows?
And I slid Goodfellas into my number four spot.
Really funny. What do you mean I'm funny? It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
You mean the way I talk?
What? You're just funny. It's the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how?
You're funny.
Funny haha.
Yeah, a little backstory on that scene, actually. Joe Pesci worked as a waiter up in the New York area, and he actually did have a similar experience with a real gangster, where he told a guy that he was serving one day, he's like, you're a funny guy. And the guy went into that type of routine. He's like, funny how? How am I funny? Like,
I amuse you?
Right. And Pesci was like, what am I going to do with this? And the only two guys in the scene who knew what was going on were Leota and Pesci. Like, that wasn't written out. That was just them kind of ad-libbing a little bit there with that scene. Now it's a classic.
Oh, it's a classic.
But nobody else in the cast knew what was
clown?
Up. So, like, the reactions you're getting from people are people going, where is this going? What is happening right now? It's all genuine from those two.
That movie, the soundtrack to that movie is ridiculous.
Unreal.
Unreal how good the soundtrack to that movie is. The tracking shots they use in that movie, which have been, just duplicated by a bunch of people, are phenomenal as well. In fact, if you go back to Tony, True Detective, with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, when they did that tracking shot with McConaughey in the dope house, was exactly how they did it. It's a one shot, and they follow him all the way through, just like they did with Ray Liotta and his wife. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But the other part in it that always gets me is, what do you want, the leg or the wing? We had the hoof. The hoof, it was jammed up in the grill, and the hoof, and we need a knife. And
he's looking at me like, what do you want from me?
Right, and his mom, and they got the body in the trunk, and they're like, yeah, we hit a deer on the road, and his mom's like, let me make you some food. Yeah.
Tommy's one of the all-time.
Oh, what a great scene! So there's my number four. What do you got?
Number four for me, it's good synergy here that you have your number four is that, and my number four is what it is, possibly the greatest movie that's ever been made, The Godfather.
Michael, is it true?
Don't ask me about my business, Kate.
Is it true?
Don't ask me about my business.
No.
This one time. This one time I'll let you ask me about my affairs.
Is it true?
No.
It's chilling. I've seen that scene in that movie countless numbers of times. I've seen it in the theater now at least 3 times. I've owned it on DVD and Blu-ray. I probably watch the whole movie 2-3 times a year. And every time when we get to the end of that movie and that scene is coming up, it gives me goosebumps every time, that conversation between he and his wife.
The issue with that one is it's like 3 hours long,
yep.
Right? So to actually watch it through, I love The Godfather, don't get me wrong. I know someone who still hasn't made it through The Godfather, who shall
remain
nameless.
They still have my copy on the DVD.
Unbelievable.
It's all right. I've replaced it.
I've never seen The Godfather.
Well, you need to correct that,
you need
sir.
To correct that, okay? You're incredibly young, but Hacker's in his 30s now, and he's never made it through. He started to watch, and he's like, this is boring.
Yeah.
And gave up after, like, 30 minutes of The Godfather. Remember we used to assign Hacker movies to watch?
Yeah.
Back in the day, back at another station. And he never made it through The Godfather.
Yeah, not only one of my most watched, but among my handful of favorites.
It is one of the best movies of all time. I don't doubt that. And I've seen it through plenty of times, but just because of the length of it, I don't think I've seen it from start to finish. You know, it's one of those, you catch it on TV, you're like, I better have the rest of the evening free, you know,
right.
And because it's usually followed by Godfather 2,
yep.
Which also won the Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm one of the people who thinks Godfather 3 is a pretty good movie on top of it.
It's all right.
It gets crushed because it's not The Godfather,
yeah.
The Godfather 2. It's a lot to live up to.
It certainly is.
All right, keeping the countdown moving. Here we go.
Three.
Easy.
One, two, three. Three.
Number three.
All right, number three for me, I think, is a modern classic, without question. Read the book, which was entitled Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. But Shawshank Redemption is just phenomenal. It's on TV all the time, so that is what makes it imminently rewatchable to me. Here's a clip.
Dear Red, if you're reading this, you've gotten out. And if you've come this far, maybe you're willing to come a little further. You remember the name of the town, don't you?
Sewatineo.
I could use a good man to help me get my project on wheels. I'll keep an eye out for you and the chessboard ready. Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. I will be hoping that this letter finds you and finds you well. Your friend, Andy.
Get busy living. Or get busy dying.
That's
Tony.
Right.
Tyler, I assume you've seen Shawshank, right?
Yeah, that's actually 2 of the 10 movies on your guys' list that I have seen.
Wow. All right, well, there you go. Shawshank, I don't think you need to say much more about it. Most people have seen it. Phenomenal movie. And a lot of people had it in their top 5 that
yeah.
We saw today.
It would be on my seen it 20-plus times list, but didn't make my top 5. Number 3 for me, oh, my goodness. One of the great horror movies of all time. Maybe redefined the genre in a lot of ways. It's already been on a couple people's lists today. Ba-dump, Jaws.
You know the thing about a shark? He's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white, and then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, and in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in. Rip you to pieces.
I thought about just taking the scene where Quint gets eaten, and because the sound, it's all just sound of him going, and just have 25 seconds of him screaming and then the gurgling of the blood. But Jaws never scared me to get in the water after watching this movie, and it's back when Spielberg had some grit to him.
I didn't get to see it when I was a kid. I remember when it was out, my parents went to see it. What was it, like 76 or 77, right? One of those, right? But I did have... and for folks of my age group probably remember these, a nice iron-on transfer T-shirt. Do you remember iron-on T-shirts?
Yeah.
You get the pictures? I had a Jaws iron-on shirt with the classic scene with the shark coming up and the girl swimming at the top, and the proportions
the
are really out of whack in the poster. But had the Jaws T-shirt. Didn't see it until years later, but I've probably seen that one 20 times as well, but didn't make my top 5. Tyler, you're number 3.
Much like your selection for the Shawshank Redemption, I don't think this one needs much introduction.
You eat dog crap for breakfast, geek. You make your way. What your mama told you!
Yeah!
You bob for apples in the toilet, and you like it. You play ball like a girl!
Such a great movie. It's such
Brett
a classic.
Martin was number one, was that?
Yeah.
We did top five hidden gems, right? When Brett Martin was doing the show with us over a year, a couple of years ago now. And Sandlot, I think, was his number one.
It was on the list.
Certainly was. Now, Sandlot's a good movie. I haven't seen as much as some others have, but nevertheless, let's continue. We've got the top two coming up.
One, two.
One, two.
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 Two, right?
Two.
Twice.
The second.
Two.
Two.
Number two.
Oh, I'm so glad my brother used to watch this movie twice a day on VHS when we had it. The immortal Jack Burton. I promise you some more Kurt Russell. Here it is, Big Trouble in Little China.
Chairs!
This does what again, exactly?
Huge buzz. Oh, good. Can see things no one else can see. Do things no one else can do.
Real things?
As real as Lopan.
Hey, what more can a guy ask for?
Oh, the six demon bag.
Terrific. A six demon bag. Sensational. What's in it, Egg?
Wind, fire, all that kind of thing.
Here's to the Army and Navy and the battles they have won. Here's to America's colors, the colors that never run.
May the wings of liberty never lose a feather.
Oh, Jack Burton, he's the best. I love him. I've been a Kurt Russell fan since I was a kid because of this movie specifically. Is it dumb? Yeah. Is it a little pointless? Yeah. Doesn't matter. I've probably seen this movie alone somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 times at some point in my life. I watched half of it again just last week because I enjoy it so, so, so much. The villains are stupid. They're over the top. But Jack Burton is worth it every single time.
I saw it in the theater. I don't know if I've seen it again. I remember liking it. I just one of those I don't know if I've ever seen twice. Never mind.
Yeah.
You know, certainly.
James Carpenter doing his thing, man.
All right, Tyler, what do you got for number two?
I had so many scenes to choose from for this classic from the 90s, and I'll just go ahead and roll it.
Do you want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Does anyone not like Forrest Gump?
I love Forrest Gump's a great movie.
It's great, yeah.
It's a great movie. I've seen it. I don't think I've seen it 20. I've probably seen it 10 to 15 times. Something like that for Forrest Gump.
Maybe on my 20 list.
I would estimate. It's a great movie. I'm not going to argue with it. Now, Tyler, I hope you pulled a clip from the original.
Oh, yeah.
Of my number two here.
All the way back.
It's a very simple. Just roll the clip. It's a very simple one. It took a long time to knock Red Dawn off the top of my most watched movie list. Because it came out in high school, Tony. I half think my friends and I wanted the Soviets and the Cubans to invade
right.
So we could be the Wolverines, right? And it was, what a phenomenal, phenomenal flick. And honestly, I could have maybe even thrown Roadhouse, another Swayze movie. Into, mm-hmm. Roadhouse is, I can't just, and but for that matter, if Next of Kin comes on,
mm-hmm.
You got me, okay? Because I don't know what it is, but Swayze has done some of these eminently rewatchable movies to us. Oh, the original Red Dawn. Is just so freaking phenomenal. So that is my number two, which brings us to...
Four.
Two.
One.
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 One. All I need is one.
One.
You're one.
One.
Number one.
Tyler Devitt.
All right, it's a probably Will Ferrell's, in my opinion, probably his best movie, his best comedic performance.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some? I need... Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
What is she doing? I never know what she's doing back there.
Oh, so good.
It's the freaking Catalina wine mixer. Are we thinking of the same movie?
No, that's Step Brothers. This is Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, is that Wedding Crashers?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has just a bit part. He's the funeral crasher.
He is the funeral crasher at the end. That's right. Is he the funeral crasher? Is that
he goes to funerals and gets them.
Man, I've only seen that a few times. It is a good movie. All Will Ferrell's movies are
like,
good.
He was the one that taught them, or taught Vince Vaughn's character how to do the
That's
wedding
right.
crashing.
That's right. Wedding Crashers, number one for Tyler. All right. Mine isn't really my movie. It's my son's movie. It's the first movie he ever saw in the theater. And I think it's a great movie. I really think it's a great movie. It's a kid's movie, but it's Cars.
Oh, right. That makes perfect sense. Turn right to go left. Yes! Thank you! Or should I say no thank you? Because in opposite world, maybe that really means thank you.
There you go, Owen Wilson, right? You get your Owen Wilson fix right there.
Back to back!
I mean, that was one of the first movies that, certainly as a kid, probably the first movie we bought him, and we watched it every day, just over and over. And I'd watch it today. It's great. Flick, Cars 2, not so much, but Cars was phenomenal, and just, I mean, this, my son just loved it, and, you know, that started, now we got to do the Hot Wheels thing, we got to get all the Cars toys, we got to do, it was just, you know, Lightning McQueen was the guy. I could still see, when he could barely stand, Tony, we had the Lightning McQueen and the Doc cars, the little mini cars, and we'd race them around the table. He'd have to hang onto the table, and he'd drive them around the outside of the table, and we'd chase each other. Love it. That's more just more for family reasons, but I've probably seen Cars more than any movie, at least that I can think of, except for the possibility of one, which I left off entirely. So what's your number one?
Number one for me, this is a movie and a movie series that I rewatch at least once, if not twice a year, now in the extended edition Blu-rays. I saw this film 16 times when it was in theaters when I was graduating from high school. It's The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
In the land of Mordor, in the fires of Mount Doom, the Dark Lord Sauron forged in secret a master ring to control all others. And into this ring, he poured his cruelty, his malice, and his will to dominate all life. One ring to rule them all.
This may be my favorite story of all time.
Like, never watched it.
I have read the books from beginning to end probably 8 to 10 times. I've seen the movies. I can't tell you how many times. Like I said, 16 times I went and saw this in theaters. It survived all 52 weeks until The Two Towers, the second movie in the series, came out. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, number one with an absolute bullet.
Hey, that's your that's fine. I haven't seen a single one of the Lord of the Rings movies.
I love the fantasy. I love all that fantasy stuff anyway.
The Hobbit was a great book. Hobbit is literally the only book I probably read from cover to cover in high school out of all the ones we were supposed to read. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another story. But, all right, quick, honorable mentions that didn't make the list for me. I mentioned Roadhouse, The Departed, which it could possibly be legitimately in the top five. That movie is great. I watched the last 30 minutes of it again the other night. If it comes on, I'll probably watch it from whatever point I see it through the end. Casablanca, Bogart, for the longest time, probably may still be my favorite actor of all time, and I would assume I've seen Casablanca more than any other Bogart movie, but I used to rent all the old Bogart movies, to Have and Have Not and Key Largo and all those when I was younger. Rocky, I had in there, had Field of Dreams. The Avengers, I've seen a ton. Mm-hmm. And Scrooged is our favorite Christmas movie. We've seen the heck out of Scrooge, but I don't know how I left it off. My favorite movie of all time. I'm not positive I've watched it more than all these others, but JFK was my favorite movie of all time. I was a big JFK assassination conspiracy buff, and when that movie came out, it was like, I may have seen it 3 times in the theater, and I know I've never seen another movie. I've rarely seen a movie twice in the theater. I know I've seen that. I may have seen it 3 times. Kevin Bacon, by the way, off the chain good in that. Joe Pesci was ridiculous in that. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal movie, in my opinion. But any honorable mentions for you?
Like I said, Shawshank Redemption would have been on the list. Rocky IV of the Rocky movies is honestly the one I've probably seen the most. Army of Darkness, which is the third in the Evil Dead trilogy, and it is just ridiculous. Fight Club, Primal Fear, Young Guns 2 was another one that my brother watched a ton of.
Primal Fear is awesome. Young Guns, the first one. Oh, yeah. That might be on there, too.
Jurassic Park would be on my 20-plus list. Rambo First Blood Part 2. Die Hard, which is something I still watch every Christmas to this day. Predator. And the most shameful of my 20-plus, Gremlins 2. I have seen that movie, The New Batch, I don't know how many times. Like, the first one was kind of scary. The second one is not scary at all. It is just goofy. And it was on a tape with Rocky IV, I think, when I was little, which is why I saw it as many times as I did. I just start the tape over.
All right. Tyler, any quick honorable mentions you want to mention, or are we good?
Yeah, 3 of them. I had Shawshank, which you guys both had, and 2 of them that you guys didn't mention. I was surprised. Super Troopers and Anchorman. 2 great movies.
Anchorman's good, but I'm not like... a devotee like the morning show.
I've probably seen it about 20
times. It's a very good
movie.
I've probably seen it maybe six.
The Dark Knight should be mentioned, too. I'm not sure if I've gotten it 20 just because it's still, I mean, the movie's 6 years old or whatever. But I saw that movie three times in the first 24 hours it was in a theater.
Young Guns 2 over Young Guns?
My brother watched Young Guns 2.
Okay, they were both good. I liked them both, but the first one was...
I thought the first one was better, too, but my brother watched Young Guns, too.
I got you. All right. We will take a time out. We'll wrap things up. Look at some of your reaction to the fan feedback spotlight coming your way, and we'll do that straight ahead on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday here. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the home stretch we come. Happy Good Friday to you. We will... I will be back Monday. Tony's off on Monday.
Yeah.
But just as for clarification, not like we haven't said it a bunch of times, but that was our top five movies that we've seen the most times in our life. Not our favorite movies.
Yeah, we've never done like a top five. These are our favorite movies.
No. JFK. Don't let me forget it.
Yeah. We haven't done that, though.
No, we haven't. We've done hidden gem movies, which was fun. I still can't find an online copy. If anybody can find... I guess I could go to Amazon and try to buy it. Maybe I should do that.
What, Run Lola Run?
No, I've seen that. That's a great movie. I've seen that. I can find that. The Spanish Prisoner with Steve Martin and the chick who talks a lot. You know who I'm talking about, like the actress. It's kind of, she plays the same kind of role. She's a very, interesting way of talking. Anyway, it's like a con artist movie. It's a great movie. And it's a straight role for Steve Martin. I bring that up from time to time, but if you know where I can find The Spanish Prisoner, I probably could. I have never bothered to search Amazon, so I guess I don't care that much about it. I'm looking more for a link. Hey, Alfie, give me a tweet.
Right.
Tell me where I can find Spanish Prisoner.
Right.
All right. He knows what I'm talking about. All right. Today, that's what we asked you, your top five movies that you've watched the most in your life. Tony, give us a sample of the reaction and response.
A bunch of response today from Bill, Back to the Future, Rudy, Star Wars, The Karate Kid, and A Few Good Men. From Robbie, Dazed and Confused, Dumb and Dumber, Four Brothers, Any Given Sunday, and Step Brothers. From @IrisJaguar, Home Alone, Die Hard, which would be on mine as well, The Avengers, Shawshank, and Jurassic Park. From Owen, Goodfellas, Joe Dirt, Office Space, Tommy Boy, and Black Sheep. From Joe, Goodfellas, Toy Story, Terminator 2, RoboCop. I love RoboCop. National Lampoon, Christmas Vacation. From Tommy, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, The Big Lebowski, Goonies, and Star Wars Episode 4. From T-Mock, In Order, Big Lebowski, Pulp Fiction, Dumb and Dumber, Tommy Boy, Independence Day. From David, Rocky, Scarface, Star Wars, Indiana Jones. I assume that would be the first one, and The Longest Yard. From Tony, Goodfellas, Casino. I don't know why people watch Casino over and over and over. It's like one of my least favorite Scorsese flicks.
It's good.
But whatever.
Casino.
Hoosiers, Top Gun, and Pulp Fiction. From Beef, who he and I are restarting our Pantsless
podcast.
What up,
Beef?
Tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah, we're doing it tomorrow. Batman from 1989, Transformers from 1986, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Gosh, I love that movie. Anchorman and Hudson Hawk. That's amazing. From Ian, number five, Troy, Casino, The Princess Bride, Talladega Nights, and Dumb and Dumber. From Paul, V for Vendetta. I dig that flick. Jaws, Independence Day, The Matrix Trilogy, and Super Troopers. From Chris, Back to the Future, Wayne's World, Ocean's 11, Frozen. He says he has two daughters. And Rio Bravo, starring John Wayne. From Kevin, Ghostbusters, Forrest Gump, White Man Can't Jump. Awesome. Avengers, and Ghostbusters 2. Sorry, Kevin. From Chris, 7, Empire Strikes Back, The Crow, Spawn, and Evolution. That's a really honest top five from you, Chris. I appreciate your honesty there, because who else would admit that they've seen Evolution more than a handful of times, if at all?
Evolution?
That's the David Duchovny movie with the aliens.
Nah.
Orlando Jones.
I don't know if I've seen it ever.
Yeah.
I just got a text from Double D, Donovan Darius, weighing in with his top five. He's got Schindler's List. I hope this is not like Seinfeld Schindler's List
issue.
Why would
you do that more than once,
Schindler's
Donovan?
List.
It's great, but come on.
Coming to America, phenomenal. Uh-huh. Independence Day, Meet the Parents, and Deep Impact. And he added LOL. So
Deep Impact.
It's your
I
list.
I love that. Like, I do. I enjoy the fact that this list says a little bit about you. I enjoy these kind of top fives. Like, you can tell by my list that obviously I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, but I like the schlocky horror movie as well. That's why something like, I still love B-horror movies. Stuff like Tremors and that kind of thing. And the classics are on there, too, with The Godfather and Jaws.
Honestly, if it's not Eddie Murphy, I can't think of too many comedies that I watch over and over. I told you Scrooge was on there, but I don't know. I'm just not the comedy guy, I guess.
I'll rewatch Big Lebowski and, like, Fargo from time to time.
Speaking of which, let me give you a couple on Facebook. Jimmy Clark, The Big Lebowski, Sling Blade, Forrest Gump, Goodfellas, The Devil's Rejects, Steve Munsey, Whoa. Star Wars, Rocky, Star Wars, Grease, which honestly, again, could be in my top five.
Hmm.
Maybe, I mean, Grease I've watched over and over and over again. You know what else might be in my top five? At least top ten is Hair. The movie version of Hair.
Really?
With Treat Williams. Because we didn't have the soundtrack, so we just pop in the tape into the VCR. We taped it off of TV. And Heather and I, in the 90s, probably watched, I can't tell you how many times we watched Hair. 4 score and 7 years ago, I can sing you every song from Hair. Matthew Ryan, Back to the Future, Beverly Hills Cop, Cool Runnings, Top Gun, Days of Thunder, Joey Redfern, let's see, he said Die Hard 1, Karate Kid 1, Rocky 1 through 4, Godfathers 1 and 2, and Goodfellas. I believe that was 10 in his top 5, but that's okay. Johnny Crum had Empire Strikes Back, Dune, Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, Top Gun, another frequently watched one. His all-time most watched, though, was Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Juden went with The Matrix, Glory, Saving Private Ryan, Forrest Gump, and Frozen, in parentheses, Ugg. I'm guessing much like me with Cars, that was for his kid. Michael Wren went with Scarface, The Godfather, Tora, 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 Forrest Gump, and Midway. He's obviously a fan of the war movies.
Yeah.
Got a couple of them on there. And then Dustin Smith said any movie that's a rerun on TBS on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
So that's where you're going to find him. So I hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully we sparked a few memories for you to go out there and find that movie. You're like, oh, I love that movie. Let me go watch it.
I know y'all did for me. Like, there was a bunch as the lists were coming in. Again, I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I've seen that movie so many times, and, man, that was fun today.
Great. I could do a whole nother top five, and they all might really be. Although, I think Cars and Red Dawn really are definitely in the top five.
Yep.
Grease could be in there. JFK could be in there. Young Guns could be in there. There are a bunch of them out there. So.
Die Hard probably would be. Like, Die Hard probably would be.
Not for me.
Because that was a part of that Friday night rotation for the family, despite the fact that I was 10, my brother was 7, we would watch Die Hard.
Ask me in a year from now, and I plan to say Avengers Age of Ultron.
Heck yeah.
Okay? Avengers Age of Ultron. All right.
Days.
Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac. 30 for me now, because I'm going to the NFL draft. We'll talk about that next week. I'm going to go to the draft, and I'm not watching that movie without my son, so I already broke the news to him. It's May 3rd, not May 1st, that Avengers Age of Ultron comes out in this household. Thanks to Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor for a long, long time here on Jaguars Day. You know, we were talking about yesterday, it was the 8th anniversary of 1010XL. What, April was like our first anniversary of Jaguars Today, right?
Really?
Didn't we start the 1st
so.
Of April last year?
I don't remember what date we started. Lauren would remember. Lauren, when did we start?
Lauren Brooks, who, did you get Lauren's list? Or she didn't tweet it to you. She just tweeted it to me. Did you read her list?
I did not.
Today?
Because it didn't include me.
Didn't include you? You gotta, if you don't include Tony or hashtag it Jaguars Today, she hashtagged it, though.
I know.
Come on, you're just being so mean to Lauren Brooks. That's unbelievable like that. But I think it was the 1st of April last year, or whatever the first weekday in April.
Her five were Goonies, Sandlot, Days to Confuse, Now and Then, and Top Gun.
Yeah, you could have skipped that list. That wasn't worth it. Thanks. Have a good weekend, Lauren. And everybody else out there, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for Jaguars Today. XL Primetime. Somebody, please, chain Hacker to a chair and make him watch The Godfather from start to finish just once in his life. That does it for us here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.